Blog Talk Radio.
General quarters, security. General quarters, security, condition 3.
Security 3, sir. General quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Oh, yes, it's a busy place here at the Genie's Bottle, known as Madame Perry Salon. Good evening and welcome once again. I am your host and cruise director, Madame Perry. Well, you can call me Jennifer Perry, and I am delighted to be here talking with you, and I'm glad that you're here enjoying the show. Because tonight we have a very, very special guest, an author, of course, one of those brilliant people from Crystal Lake Publishing is coming tonight. And just so you know, I want to thank you all for listening, for subscribing, for downloading, for sharing with your friends. I want to say hello to some friends that listen all the time, that listen a lot. Hello to Paula Limbaugh. Hello to Mimi. Hello to Duffy Odom, Andrea Robinson, and people that message me that they listen a lot and enjoy the show. Thank you, because the numbers have been fantastic lately, and that's thanks to you. And that helps me continue to bring you fantastic guests. Don't forget, we had Doug Stinson sent me something else. You know, he sent me his book, Downstairs at the White House. Remember, he was on a few weeks ago talking about being 17 and an intern at the White House, having a ringside seat to Watergate. And as he said, being 17 and clueless, he made all kinds of mistakes, did a lot of crazy stuff. And thank goodness this was before the days of surveillance devices and phones cameras on phones, so that people couldn't, not that he did anything illegal, but just kind of embarrassing, serving Coke to the chairman of PepsiCo and things like that, walking out on a conversation with football player Jim Brown because he thought he wasn't really Jim Brown and he was just pulling his leg, you know, stuff like that. But it was a great show. Also, don't forget Ricky Bird, Hall of Famer Ricky Bird, guitarist Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, as well as Southside Johnny, Ian Hunter. You know, go get his Clean Getaway. Go to the cleangetaway.ny website and get his Clean Getaway CD. You know, I've been playing it on here, and he's using it to support his foundation, so that's pretty good. All right, tonight is also another good show, and I am thrilled. And remember, you can always call in and talk to the guest, number 646-716-9922. We never know who's going to call in here or drop in here, but it's always fun. Tonight's another one of those fantastic people from Crystal Lake, Scottish author William Meckley is visiting Madame Perry Salon tonight. Now, this is his first time to visit here, and we're going to talk about his newest book called The Ghost Club. It's a fantastic, thrilling read that takes place in Victorian London, where a select group of writers led by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Bram Stoker, and Henry James held an informal dining club, the price of entry to which was the telling of a story by each invited guest, kind of like Madame Perry's salon. You know, I wanted it to be a cultural salon like people had in Europe and the United Kingdom and Asia in centuries past, where very talented people, authors, you know, musicians, artists would get together and share their work. So please, welcome for the very first time to Madame Perry's salon, and I hope not the last, William Meckle. William, come on in. Meckle. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. William Meikle, come on in. Have a seat in here in Marion Perry Salon. It's kind of dim in here. You know, it's a genie's bottle, so, but it's roomier than it looks. So find a nice comfy place to sit. And listen, I'm not through reading your book yet, but I am absolutely loving it. I love the entire concept, and also in the short stories by each person, because it's kind of like little bite-sized treats, you know? I'm the kind of person, once I'm into a book, you know, sometimes I'll stay up all night finishing the book, but you give me nice little bite-sized treats that I can enjoy, like fancy candies in a box. What now? I'm trying. Well, how are you feeling? How are you doing today? How's life in your neck of the woods where you are at the moment? But you're not actually in Scotland right now. Where are you? Ah. Oh, by the way, I already have. I was telling people, you know, you can call in and talk to William Meikle tonight, and the number is 646-716-9922, or Skype is MME Jennifer Perry, Madam Jennifer Perry. And I've already had somebody message in a question. Oh, you can send me a message on Facebook, and I'll share it with them. You've already had a message from Becky Kyle, Rebecca McFarlane Kyle is how she's known formally. You know Becky? Well, she's put on here, she's on the post about you being on here tonight. She said, alas, I had Star Wars tickets, but tell Willie hello, he is a favorite of mine. Yeah, she's I've only known her about 5 years, 5 or 6 years here on Facebook. She's fantastic. I adore Becky. She's a very talented woman. So yes, she is. So let's back into a little bit more about you. How long? Mm-hmm. So you're from Glasgow, did you say? Yeah, I've got a lot of friends over there, you may know. Does that make you a glass? You know Janie Godley? And, yeah, Janie Godley, Danny Gillen, Danny, Titch McLean and Darren Cannell. A delight, yeah, he's a great guy, very, very, very funny guy, very dry sense of humor. Okay, so you've had, actually right now, your newest book just launched on December 9th, and according to looking at your website, which you've got a fantastic website, by the way, it's williammeikle.com, you've been on quite a big tour. You've been talking to somebody or interviewing every single day. This is magnificent. was magnificent. And I was delighted to see my show's name up on your list too. So thank you so much for sharing. But yeah, you've been everywhere. And this is I'm an entertainment publicist, so I'm looking at you like you're going totally pro here. But you've got now I see and tell me how you've done this, because I'm looking at the picture of you playing guitar. You look good. You look handsome. You look young and healthy. Really? Well done, you. You've been taking care of yourself. So, because on your bio part, it says Scottish writer living in Canada with 25 novels published in the genre press and over 300 short story credits in 13 countries. Yes, I like where it says, yeah, you've been, when he's not working, he drinks beer, plays guitar, and dreams of fortune and glory. This would be the time to go for it, because a lot of people, because especially, I don't know, well, do you have a specific book that you would want to be made into a movie first, or, I mean, I know probably several, but one in particular? Okay, because yeah, you have to put it out there. Nobody's gonna. I mean, even though people know who you are, you know, you've got fans. You've got a lot of readers. Very popular. Still, there's so much competition for film. I would also think about something like, say with your new book, The Ghost Club, because it's several short stories that all take place at a dinner party. It would seem to me that that would be perfect for a PBS series, like Masterpiece Theater series. Yeah, it's not easy, but there are so many. But what about, you know, there's so many independent filmmakers these days. So. But what I would imagine, though, you would have to come down from. You'd have to get an ice pick and carve your way out of Newfoundland to get to a theater, to the studio. I was reading some of the reviews that people had written about your newest book, The Ghost Club, and some of them I wanted to share. But before I do that, why don't you tell the listeners, you know, the premise for The Ghost Club? I mean, I gave some description, but just a very, very brief one. Thank you. Good. Yes, they are. And I'm going to read just a couple here. Oh, and by the way, before that, when you talked about, you know, influence of Jules Verne, you know, the steampunk movement, I'm sure you're familiar with that, aren't you? Okay, they're quite enamored of Jules Verne. And have you ever thought about, or have you written anything in that would blend to the steampunk genre? All right. Yeah, I had last night a few folks on from that are going to be at the Wild Wild West Con in March in Tucson. Yeah, oh, God, that was, yeah, you should go. I'm going to go. But I did want to read a couple of these fantastic. So if you're listening and you're like Becky Kyle, you already know that you love William Meikle. Say your last name again for me, dear. Meikle, you already know that you love William Meikle, then you'll still enjoy hearing this. This is the one, this was an interview, or actually is a review by Nancy Kilpatrick, author of Revenge of the Vampire King. She says, William Meikle is an audacious writer. In the Ghost Club, he takes on the personalities of literary icons Bram Stoker, Arthur Conan Doyle, Jules Verne, and the like, and creates stories they might have told, mimicking their voices and writing styles, and he makes that work. I have too many favorites to name, but as I read from start to finish, the stories just got better and better, and I found myself as absorbed as if I were reading spooky tales told by these master storytellers. Kudos to Meikle. Lovers of traditional and quirky ghost stories need the Ghost Club in their library. I did, too. And, you know, and I mean, right out of the box with the first story, I thought, this is it. It didn't go in some sappy direction that I didn't want to hear, whatever. It grabbed you, and it was real. And I thought, oh, these are the kind of stories that enchanted me, too. You know, as a kid growing up, I was a kid that was inside reading all the time. And I think I might have tried to ask it. So what gave you the idea or the desire to put the book in the form that you did of the different people, of the guys sitting around having the at the Ghost Club, the dinner party, and when Nancy Kilpatrick, when she describes you in the bit I just read where she said that you mimic their voices and writing styles. Now, this is another one of the things that I love about reading this book, because I don't write that way. I'm not the kind of writer like you guys, but in the 90s and the early 2000s, I worked as a professional impersonator. And I mostly did Marilyn Monroe and Madonna. And I did some recordings with Julie London for for a celebrity impersonator Christmas CD, and I did Dolly Parton one time, but William, that was rough on the back. I couldn't do that. You know, it was. I thought it was bad enough just the false eyelashes for Marilyn, but it's the back was rough. But, you know, it was a matter of watching enough things to know that when I walked in, because, you know, that was kind of decent money for me, as I found out, not half of what the agents were raking in for it. But because of the kind of work, you know, it is, you know, you want to know, you wanted to feel, especially if there are people out there, because it's usually for private parties or sometimes it was corporate events, like maybe a launch of a new drink by Pepsi or some other kind of business convention. They'd hire impersonators to come and entertain. But you wanted to know that if there were somebody there who was really a fan, just a rabid fan of somebody, you wanted to know that I wanted to feel like I had the walk and just the mannerisms, the hands. When I did Madonna, if I'd perform, you know, sometimes it's always, you feel like she's looking off stage, kind of like darting her eyes, like maybe she's watching a stage manager or something. And I always wanted to have everything in that. But you were able to mimic in the writing, you know, the style and the voice. And yeah. You do it on paper. Do you do when you do this? Do you maybe just? I mean, I'm sure you know you read. You know their styles reading. But is there anything else that you do to put yourself in the mood to write in someone else's voice, like? Yes. So we kind of, all right, that's cool. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes it helps just to have a little something, almost like a little charm or a talisman, whether it's actually physical or not. I mean, I also do social media where I say I'm a ghost tweeter for people, and I have to do it in their voice, you know, like they would say something, not how I would say it. And so that's got to be fun. Do you ever worry that you would? What if you fall and have a knock on the head and you wake up and think that you're Bram Stoker? Okay. So, now you have so many books, but what kind of? How are you doing well with this book right now, the short story book? How are people responding? I'm reading how reviewers are responding to it and loving it. What do you hear from your fans? Uh-huh. I think that's surprising because wasn't it? And I know you'll know if I'm wrong. Please, you know, correct me. But Edgar Allan Poe, didn't he believe that stories should be able to be read in a sitting?
Yes, he did.
And. No, I think that's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. I think you should. I really do. But see, oh no! you might want to slow down for some of us. You might want to have two versions. You might want to have, yeah, for the Glaswegians and for us over here, Yanks or whatever y'all call us. Yeah, you might want to have a separate version or have somebody read for you. You know, I've had people read, I've hired people to read things for my clients, you know, stories, or maybe read a different character or a different part of the story. Like just do little bits of it to put on YouTube, especially if they were in costume. So that would be fun. Well, actually, you know, we'd all find it very charming. So I think that, you know, people wouldn't mind listening over and over. Now, my husband and I watch a lot of British mysteries and TV shows. And we do, I admit, we do put it on English subtitles. So that we, you know, because there's some expressions that we miss that we, you know, we won't know what they were. And then until we see them written out down there and go, oh, okay, somebody's a bit peely-wally. What does that mean? So it gives us a chance to stop and look at something else. Yes. Oh, is it? I keep hearing that one on Call the Midwife. Feeling a bit peely-wally, old girl, you know. So it's like, and yeah, you would stop and check our check the look it up on Google or something like that. Now, yeah, but I do think you should. I really do. And you know, we don't. Don't worry about if we understand it. We'll get it. We'll figure it out, you know. And if people don't get it, they can buy, if they're not really sure, they can always buy the book. And that's what I was saying, too. I would think that short stories, you know, like Poe said, they should do well, and they should be nice for keeping in your pocket or your nook for, say, if you're having to wait in line at the DMV to get your driver's license. This would be a great to have. Get your... Oh, yeah. Well, that, yeah, that'd be good. And people, I think that's a great idea. Or that's a fantastic thing to do. It kind of moves you. But you know what else even cooler about that is that you've got the stories and the styling of the Victorian London era, but you're making it modern and just into the cyber world. That's pretty. That's nice. Now, are you able, since you're up in Newfoundland, I don't know how, do you ever come to the States for book conventions or festivals? Or? Is there a reason why not? Is it something that we've said or done? Have we offended? Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you should. You should think of it. Something like Book Expo America. Let your fans meet you. I guess that would be kind of rough. It sounds like is it a good island? It's not like Craggy Island for Father Ted, is it? Craggy Island. Okay. So when's the last time you were in a movie theater? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I only go to movies about once a year myself, so I'm now you also play guitar, and have you recorded anything for us that we could buy, or any accompaniments for your books? More of a what? Yeah, that would take the arthritis would hurt a lot. Have you ever talked to book clubs via Skype or concert window or something like that you can do online?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. When you were a kid, who's the first author that you remember really being a fan of? Who is he? Okay. I keep coming back to your newest book because the Ghost Club, because the list of authors, and it's not, you don't stick with just one area. You also have American Mark Twain. It's kind of a that's quite a rich cultural time too, wasn't it? Or a lot of visuals you can put into stories. Just for people listening too, if you want to know, in the Ghost Club, these are the Ghost Club members.
Hello.
Robert Louis Stevenson, Rudyard Kipling, Leo Tolstoy, Bram Stoker, Mark Twain, Herbert George Wells, Margaret Oliphant, Oscar Wilde, Henry Rider Haggard, Helena P. Blavatsky, Henry James, Anton Chekhov, Jules Verne, Arthur Conan Doyle, one of my favorites. Did you have to cut back when you started coming up, when you started deciding which authors you wanted to be, who were going to be the Ghost Club members? Were there some people that you just had to leave out because you just maybe didn't have enough room or didn't have enough time for publication? Trying a totally different genre just for an exercise or for the fun of it, like a romantic comedy or something. She's the New Zealand author Lee Murray. Because she was here, I think, 2 weeks ago. And, yeah, that's what she's done. She has most of her books are in the horror, fantasy, sci-fi genre. And then she has one or two that were just like a chick lit book, you know, for the summer beach read or a children's book. So where did this come out of your brain, Lee Murray? I'm used to you with, you know, animals, that prehistoric animals that come and tear people apart. You know, where did you come up with a beach read? Well, tell me, let's see, yeah, Halfway to Heaven. Yes, Halfway to Heaven, a fantasy romance with comedy, Halfway to Heaven, about a man who is visited by God and told he'll be spending time at a halfway house when dead, until she, oh, goddess, she can make up her mind where to put him. And if you're listening live, remember, yes, okay, you can call in and talk to William Meagle. What's the number here? 646-716-9922. And this William Meagle, you're a fascinating man. what do you think is, this is your first book with Crystal Lake Publishing? I have got to tell you, everyone I talk to, every one of the Crystal Lake authors that I speak with, speak very highly of Joe.
Yes,
Joe Meinhardt. Yeah, yeah, he's like a fantastic guy. Did you know a lot about them before you first had a book published with them? Did you know a lot about the other authors, or did you? Tell you what, of all, every single person I've had on the show who is published by Crystal Lake Publishing, everyone is star quality. Everyone is ace. I'm just was there anything that you, when you finished the Ghost Club, was there anything that you wish you had put in or taken out, or because I hear people. Would you feel like reading a little bit to us? Okay. You don't have to read it all, just a little bit so we can hear it in the author's, in your voice doing their voice. While you're looking, yeah, it's like when I used to have a jet. What now? Okay, all right, I'm going to keep, okay, well, yeah, it's like when I had a jazz band at the same time that I was doing impersonations, but, you know, I told people to notice that if I did some of the same songs as Marilyn, I did it sounded very different because I would be a different, you know, a different voice. So if I'm singing something like, "My heart belongs to Daddy," but whereas with Marilyn, it was very, "But my heart," it was just like a very, very up in the mess. "Belongs to my daddy," you know, it's very, very different. "He treats it so well." So yeah, so I would imagine how William Meikle reads the story is different how when you're reading as Bram Stoker or someone else. So. Oh, isn't that great? With I still love that. With was it Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon? It is. It is. I never get tired of that one. That's a hilarious movie. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. With Sugar, with the flask in her garter. I know I didn't have you prepared for it, but thank you for coming in total. It wasn't like it's total improv. You had a script, but I know you weren't ready. That's so cool. If you have a book, and I guess maybe book clubs talk to you about this, but sometimes if you had a book club ask you what to drink or eat to set the mood for your book, and let me preface that with, now, yesterday I delivered a basket with one of my clients' books in it to a retailer, and it had some little fancy foods in there for them, but I also had a little candy in there that didn't seem like it would go into a fancy gift basket, but it's something that the main character ate a lot, and so I kind of tucked that in as a little surprise. And I used to be part of a history club, and every year we would have on the anniversary of the Battle of Rorke's Drift in East Santa Luana, we would have a dinner, and one guy would cook food that was popular at that time. One fellow at the event was the great great grand nephew of General Gunnenville Bromhead. I know this sounds totally nerdy, doesn't it? You know, and then we'd watch the movie with, what was it, Michael Caine afterwards. And so, you know, but we had, but this history club wanted to set the field for the type of food and the stories and everything and the music at that time when we watch it. So if the book club or book group was going to sit around, or just on your own, to read Ghost Club, what would you advise them? What would you say that they would need to have as far as beverages or food that would really fit the mood of these writers? What were their favorites? See, you're setting the mood already. Let me ask you this. If anybody's listening, I'm going to post this on my social media. I know you've got it on yours. There's an image you have. I think is this a portrait of you? That is your avatar on social media? Joe had that done? I like it. That's pretty cool. Oh yeah, I think you should. If I had one like that, I would use it too, definitely. Right. Well, I am just so glad that you've been able to be so generous with your time with me tonight. It's been an absolute thrill to have you here. I hope you will not be a stranger. All right. You can always drop in when somebody else is on. And remember, this is. Yeah, this is a home. This is a salon. So you are always welcome. So what? Do a what now, Joe? I have begged Joe. I have asked, I've inquired, I've suggested, I've gently tried to, you know, cajole and nudge and beg everything. I cannot get him on it. Now, I realize, you know, he's a busy man, but, you know, I wish you would, because I'm saying, look, I'm, you know, I am, and believe me, I'm glad to do this. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have so many of his authors on this podcast. I am thrilled because everyone is ace. There's not a clunker in the bunch, so it's always a joy. But Joe, I'm not asking you to, you know, I'm not asking you for money, Joe. I'm just asking you to come on here, and I think that would be wonderful. So maybe if you guys kind of gang up. Hey, you know what? I want you to tell people, while we still have a few minutes, tell people where they can buy the Ghost Club and all your books, and where can people find you on social media? And I'll be sharing all of your social media, too, on the Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook as well as Twitter and on Instagram and everything else, because you've got a good presence on social media. So that helps people find you, I'm sure. And they can also get your books, you know, from your website, williammeikle.com, and that's spelled M-E-I-K-L-E.com, as well as, you know, but what good old Amazon. And, you know, there's have you ever heard of speaking of, we were talking about Arthur Conan Doyle, have you ever heard of a punk musical artist named Pop Lock Holmes? No, you haven't. Well, I think I'll play a little song by Pop Lock Holmes. What do you say? It's called Pound of the Baskervilles. Okay, so stay with me, and this is Pop Lock Holmes and Pound of the Baskervilles.
Was a frightening night in a world like no other, with lightning strikes and thunder. What a sound to feed the drowned of the pounding, and no doubt we found out just what made the sound. See a hound pounding out made sounds that drowned every ounce of the thunderous sounds from the clouds. A pound so deep, our insides were shaken and taken aback when the beats kept breaking. Three beastly heads all barking back, their rumbling bass made the walls crack. Bricks tumbled down, and then with the castle surrounding the beast. Down in the rafters, out of the timbers came pounds and shivers. Our spines of young face, no clutching their mothers. The base welled up, the walls came down, the beast got up, and hell went down. We grappled on top of the toppled remains of the castle that tumbled under the strain. The sound that he made shook me right to my kidney. I thought I was lost when it suddenly hit me. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the seams into place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC's in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up with music for the steampunks. Now that hound took a pounding, astoundedly. back a pounding, confounding me. I dodged, I weaved, I skimmed, I skirmed, but that beast had a head whenever I turned. I couldn't get free, I couldn't get out. I turned to watch on, go on, get out. I'll keep on busy while you get away. The music lived on, my beats must play. So we clashed, we collided, igniting the spark. The bass, the beast, the beat, the art. This wasn't a beast, but the bass that was beating. You can't beat the bass or the beast that the beast brings. So I stood tall and I let the beast eat me. The bass started beating the second that he bit me. You can't kill the pop lock. I'm like Obi-Wan. So let the beast drop and pop lock. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the scenes in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run the steams in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up with music for the steampunks.
Pop, lock, poems, pound of the Baskervilles. This is Madam Perry saying, I have been delighted to have Scottish author William Meikle here in Madam Perry's salon. Go out and get his newest book, The Ghost Club. And then, if you don't have all the other books, get them too. And if you're a longtime fan, as he has many, you already know that and have them. William, any parting words for the listeners? Oh, I hope so. And thank you so much. And please come back soon. All the best of luck with the Ghost Club. And thanks for being here. And remember, Madam Perry Salon, we love you. And we always say everybody's got to swing. Good night, William. Good night, everybody.